Blog Talk Radio. We Fix Credit. Are you bound by medical bills, child support liens, evictions, late payments, repossession, bankruptcy, or student loans? Today, you can turn that around. Time to be no longer bound. Hi, my name is Dove Stanton, and the name of my credit restoration company is No Longer Bound Financial Services. We are a debt-free company with the means to help thousands of people restore and rebuild their credit. Our customers have been able to obtain their dream homes, dream cars, refinancing, and building a greater future for them and their families. We dispute all negative and erroneous items from all three major credit bureaus. In closing, we can help you restore your credit, which in turn will restore your financial future. The way to reach me is by telephone or text at 678-760-6056, or you can email me at betterdays@gmail.com. Time to be no longer bound. You gotta have
faith. Well, hello, everyone. Hello to our panel members that are on board right now. And hello to everyone that has tuned in to our weekly Praise Tabernacle Bible study. I am Elder Taylor, your host, as I am every week. And I just want to thank everyone that's tuned in today. And we just want to give God a little glory tonight. We just want to magnify the name of Jesus through Bible study. We have a great, great teacher tonight, one of our own panel members. And we just want to say thank you to our panel members that tune in every week, that give their input every week. I just want to say thank you to you guys, for me personally, for tuning in. And on behalf of our pastor, Bishop Omar Zachary, and his lovely wife, Lady Zachary, I just want to say thank you. And just commend you. So I just want to say to everyone that has tuned in, get your notepad out, be ready to write down some notes that you can go back and reread and go over again. So, and your scriptures down, so you can write your scriptures down. So we just want everybody to be prepared and everybody to get something from the word tonight. As I said before, we have a great teacher that's teaching tonight. It's my brother, my friend, my Pittsburgh Steelers fan brother. I just want to say his name is Elder Eric Oliver. And Elder Oliver, the floor is now yours.
Thank you, Elder Taylor. Appreciate it. And to everyone that's listening, to the panel that's on tonight, Evangelist Stanton, Evangelist Bruett, Elder Taylor, Minister Tobert, I believe all are on the air right now. I'm being told. So I just want to thank you guys for allowing me to be a part of the team and to teach tonight. I don't know about a great teacher, but I try to do my best. But tonight we're going to keep it simple. But sometimes simple is good because we kind of get lost sometimes. I know I do when it comes to basic concerning the body of Christ, when it comes to living, when it comes to doing what's right. It's very easy to get thrown off track. And tonight, I just want to use for a title tonight, Lost and Found. And if you have your Bibles, I'm going to go to Luke, the 15th chapter of Luke. And Lost and Found, it's kind of simple. But I want to explore a few things that I see here that I want to make a point. And I'm going to need the panel. I'm going to need your help tonight, as always, to help me with this. It's a very familiar passage of Scripture. Again, that's Luke, the 15th chapter. I'm going to read from 11 to 32, but verse 17 and verse 30 and 32 are going to be the main verses I focus on tonight. And I just want to talk about lost and found for a minute. I was thinking about it today back in school. I don't know if they still have a lost and found section in the schools or not, but I was thinking about this earlier because all the snow we got. And, you know, when I was growing up, I lived in the country, and we have to wait outside for the bus. And, you know, my mom would make sure that we had our gloves or even mittens at the time. And a lot of times, you know, we would lose our stuff outside recess. We'd leave our gloves laying around, and they would just come up missing. And never had I or my brother had common sense to look in the lost and found. We never went there. We never looked there. And you can call it being arrogant or whatever, but we always thought our stuff so good if anyone found it, they weren't going to put it in the lost and found. They would just keep it for themselves. And then towards the end of the year when we looked in the lost and found, all you would see is things that no one really wanted. There was never no good stuff found in the lost and found. And I was thinking about that, and I was thinking about this particular scripture, and I was thinking about sometimes we could be lost and find ourselves. And sometimes we think that we found ourselves and we could be lost. And I just want you to bear with me when I say that. A lot of times we could be lost and we find ourselves. And a lot of times we think that we're found and we're really lost. And in this particular scripture we're going to be looking at tonight, we're going to deal with two people. Prodigal son and his brother. One was lost and the other one was found. And when you look at it, and when we get done reading the scriptures, we're going to get into what I'm talking about tonight, the lost and found. And hopefully I get some good feedback and y'all can help me try to deliver this message. But with that being said, we're going to open up with prayer, and then I'm going to get right into the message. Father God, we just want to thank you. We just want to thank you one more time, Father God, for bringing us together. Father God, we ask that you just continue to give us what we need in order to serve you, Father God. Father God, I ask that you continue to bless everyone that's on the panel, Father God. Continue to give them strength and encourage them to continue to serve for you, Father God. Father God, I ask that you hide me behind the cross, where I'm not seen, but your word is seen. Father God, if I've done anything willing and unwilling, Father God, I ask for your forgiveness. And Father God, just give me the words to share your word, Father God, and give the listeners the ear not to only hear your word, but be doers of your word. And Father God, we ask these things in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Again, we're going to be talking about lost and found and going into the season that we're going into, and getting ready for the season. As we're getting ready, it's a new year. We're getting ready to start off, and we need to know when we need to do a self-check. Are we lost or are we found? And we need to ask that ourselves as an individual. Are we lost or are we found? And again, I always like to use myself as an example. When I thought I was found, I was lost. And when I thought I was lost, I was found. And that's what we're going to talk about on tonight. And again, you have your Bibles. I'm going to be coming out of Luke, the 15th chapter of Luke. And I'm going to start with the 11th verse. And I'm going to read for a little bit, and then I'm going to get into my topic. And it starts out Luke 15:11, and he said, a certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of good that's fallen to me. And he divided unto them his living. And that many days after the younger son gathered all together, he took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with righteous living. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in that land, and he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into the field to feed swine. And he would fain and fill his belly with the husk that the swines did eat, and no man gave unto him. And when he came to himself, he said, how many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise and go to my father, and will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me one of thy hired servants. And he arose and came to his father. But when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion, and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And his son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and I'm no more worthy to be called thy son. But the father said to his servant, bring forth the best robe and put on him, and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet, and bring hither the fattest calf and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and now and is found. And they began to be merry. Now his elder son was in the field, and he had came and drew night to the house, and heard music and dancing. And he called one of the servants and asked what these things meant. And he said unto him, thy brother is come, and thy father hath killed the fattest calf, because he has received him safe and sound. And he was angry and would not go in. Therefore came his father out and insisted him. And he answered and said to his father, lo, these many years I do serve thee, neither transgressed at any time thy commandment, and yet thou never gave me a kid that I might make merry with my friends. But soon as thy son was come, which has destroyed thy living and thy herit, thou killed for him the fattest calf. And he said unto his son, thou art ever with me, and all that I have is thine. And it meant that we should make merry and be glad, for this thy brother was dead and is alive again, and he was lost and is found. And what I like about what I'm going to talk about is in verse 17, it says, and when he came to himself, talking about the son that had left, when he came to himself. And sometimes, no matter what the situation is, we have to have a coming to ourselves. And we just read the story about how he asked his father for all his money. He was living in his father's house. There was probably certain rules and regulations in his father's house that he could not do. So he figured if he left his father's house, he could do whatever he wanted to do and live any kind of way he wanted to live, and he was going to be okay. And the other brother who was there, who never left, who followed the rules of the house and stayed there, and this is where it gets tricky, because when his brother came home, he got an attitude. when his brother was delivered and was set free, he got mad because of the way that he was received. And a lot of times in church, if we're going to go out and do what we've been instructed to do and go out and seek souls and say, we cannot judge people when they come in. And better yet, I'm going to get a little deeper with this. In verse 17, it says, and he came to himself. Never did you see where anyone came and talked to this young man, where they prayed for this young man, where they were looking for this young man. This man was living his life. He knew what he was doing was wrong, because when it says that he came to himself, he felt convicted. He started thinking about his father's house. And a lot of times when people, children of God or people living in the world who know the word, who've been around the word, who chooses to leave, we can talk about them. We can say this is the reason they left, that's the reason. But until they have that moment and they come to themselves, when they come to themselves, which means is the conviction of the Holy Spirit convicted him and was showing him what he had at his father's house. And even though he humbled himself and said he wasn't even worthy to go to be called his son, he had enough sense to go back home. And when he went back home and they received him, I just want to make sure that we understand the story. I know we probably know it very well. When they received him and had a party because he was lost, when people come and come back to Christ, or people rededicate their lives, or people accept Christ, we should celebrate them. We should rejoice. We should be able to have a good time because they made their way back home. They were lost. They're not dead. They're not hurt, but they're back in the house of the Father. And then the brother who never left the house, who's never really done no wrong, but because he never had the experience to live in sin, to dwaddle in sin, he was jealous because his father threw him a party and never threw him a party. And I want to stop right here before I get any deeper, because a lot of times we as saved Christians, we get an attitude with who Christ brings into the house because we think they're not ready, or because we think we make a big deal over them. Whatever the reason is, we get upset because it's not us. It's them. And I think we've forgotten about what our ministry is supposed to be. And we can get so caught up in the house, and this is where we got to be careful, is because we're in the world, but we're not of the world. We need to understand that the things that the world say is good, sometimes us being in the house, we're accepting it because we want to be out there. And because we don't want to go out there, we just want to accept anything into the house. I hope I'm making sense to you. What I mean by that is we've been in the church for so long, we're going to love everything about everybody because that's what the world tells us to do. Even though they're living in sin, they still come into church doing what they want to do. We've come acceptable to accept it and think that it's okay. The reason I'm bringing this up is because there's a lot of sin out here that's going on, and we as Christians have accepted it and say that it's okay. Now, I'm not saying that every individual on the line has accepted it. I'm not saying that. I'm saying as a whole, it's okay. You could be gay and still serve in the church. You could be a whoremonger and still serve in the church. You could be an alcoholic and still serve in the church. Long as we don't talk about it, it's okay. You can go ahead and tell kids it's okay to have sex before marriage because the world say it's okay as long as you put a condom on. And yet, that's not the correct way we ought to live our life. And as the young man took all his money and went and lived the life he wanted to live, and he understood it was not okay to do it. And when he came back home, the brother hated on him. And he even told the father, he was out just throwing our money away, making our name bad, which he was doing. But yet and still, he didn't want to receive him because, in my opinion, he was jealous of his brother because he went out there and lived the way he wanted to live, but had enough sense to come to himself and come back home. And because of his brother, you thought his brother would be the one that will rejoice with him, but all he did was show hate upon him. Did anyone have anything they want to say so far before I keep going? All right, I'm going to keep it moving. And the reason I say that is because I really want to preach this, but the Lord is telling me to, you know, slow down and try to get to what I'm trying to say. And in verse 17, as I said, one of my key verses in all of this is, it starts out with, and when he came to himself. And that's what we want to talk about tonight. When can you come to yourself? You could be living any type of lifestyle. You could be doing any type of thing, but you have to have a moment when you have to get convicted by the Lord and have some type of conviction to want to go back to the house. And we know when we talk about going back to the house, going back to the Lord, or going back to the church, which we ought to do. We need to do that. We have to do that. But we can't force anybody to come back. He had to come to himself. He had to get himself so low that he had to come to himself. And a lot of times we as Christians and we as believers, we need to come to ourselves about our own life. We need to come to ourselves about how we're living our life. Are we living it according to God's will, or are we living it according to our will? And when you do that self-examination, I can't speak for everybody, but for myself, there's a lot of things that I do for self, not for the Lord, that I somehow want to tie it in to being that it's okay to do it when it's not okay. So a lot of times you could think that you're in the house and be lost. And a lot of times you could be lost and you can end up finding yourself when you're lost, because the Holy Spirit will convict you that can't no one else tell you, can't no one else point you, can't no one else grab you, can't no one else go out and get you. You have to do it for yourself. Just like this young man, he had all the money, and when he went out and he spent it and he did what he wanted to do, when it was all gone, no one gave to him. And this is what the world would do to us. It will suck us in to letting us believe that we can do all that we can do, but as soon as you come to the realization, won't no one give you anything. And then it's just between you and the Lord whether you have enough sense to go back to your father's house. And what I also want to look at is in verse 30. It says, this is the brother talking to the father. But as soon as this, thy son was come, which he has devoured thy living with harlots, and thou hast killed him the fattest calf. And verse 29 is where I wanted to go. And he answered and said to his father, lo, these many years do I serve thee, neither transgress, and at any time thy commandment, and yet thou never gave me a party. And a lot of times we get caught up in what other people are doing and what we're doing and how we want to thank the Lord or thank people for giving their lives to the Lord. And we sometimes look at them the wrong way because it's not us, because we've been in the house. We've been serving. We've been doing the right thing. We've been praying. We've been doing this. We've been doing that. But as soon as somebody comes in that's new, or that's been away for a while, we church in an attitude that they shouldn't be there, or they shouldn't be doing this, or they shouldn't be doing that, or come up with reasons why they shouldn't be doing what they're doing. And it's very important in the season that we're living in now, if we're going to go out ministering, if we're going to go out witnessing to people, we have to be able to receive all types of people. I'm not saying that we have to condone the way that they live, because that's between them and the Lord, but we should show some type of happiness when people come into the kingdom, when they come into the house. And whether they're not even saved, we ought to be happy that at the moment that they're in our presence, that there could be a change at any given time. We shouldn't have an attitude. We shouldn't be mad. We shouldn't be fighting with each other because people are searching for Christ. And when I say searching for Christ, people are looking for the answer. People are coming to church looking for an answer. And it's funny to me, but when I look at the brother, he was out doing work, and they were all getting ready for the party, but he was out doing what he was supposed to be doing, but he got mad because the party was going on, and it wasn't for him. It was for his brother who was lost. How many of y'all going to really be happy for your brother who was lost, who may even hurt you, who may even stole from you, who may even took from you, but even though you may even know something about them that's not right, when they come to the house, are you going to be happy, or are you going to sit there and complain? Because we're living in a season that all types of people are going to be coming into our house of worship, and we have to be ready to receive them no matter what. Now, what I find funny in verse 17, when it came to himself, a lot of times people are going to have to come to themselves. We can't go out and start telling people why they're living their life is wrong, this, that, or the other. They have to come to themselves. We just have to be an example and continue to live right. And if we live right, everything else will be all right. Again, I feel like I'm talking a lot. Anyway, anything you want to say so far?
I do. As you was reading 29, I just want to say something real quick. First of all these eyes, I just see about three eyes, and they just said one verse with the brother when he answered his father, saying everything that he done. We need to get ourselves and our feelings out. I mean, my husband always used this phrase that our apostle McLaurin used, fooled by a feeling and left feeling like a fool. Too many Christians, so-called Christians, feelings are hurt so easily. Why would your feelings be hurt because your brother came back home? You had an issue, seems like, before he left. Deal with the issues before they deal with you. And at least in 17, he came to himself. Sometimes we got to get lost so we can find ourselves. So let's get our feelings out of you know, serving God. We can't have no feelings. Okay?
Amen. A lot of times when he came to himself, you know, a lot of times we have to sometimes fall in order to come to ourselves. Sometimes we have to get lost in order to find ourselves. And sometimes just the reverse of that, sometimes we think that we've been in the house of the Lord so long that it's all about us. And if you look about it, and like you said, all the eyes that he was saying about what he did and how he didn't leave and all about what it was all about him. But when you're serving the Lord, it don't become about you, because it's his will that is being done. It ain't got nothing to do with you. So, yes, your feelings have to be taken out of there. Because if you're trying to serve the Lord and hold on to your feelings, I'm going to tell you, it's going to be hell. Because a lot of times you're not going to get recognition because it's not about you. A lot of times we're not going to talk about you because it's not about you. If this man was lost, but now he came to himself, to me, when you come to yourself, there should be a party. When you come to yourself, you should celebrate. When you come to yourself and recognize what you were doing was wrong, and you can face it and you can tell it, and he went to his father and he confessed to his father, I was wrong, you need to celebrate about that. And there's a lot of us that got some issues, and once we confess to our father, we can celebrate. But we don't want to confess to him, and we want to keep doing it like don't nobody know that we're doing it. And then, and this is just my opinion, I could be wrong,
But the brother knew that his brother wanted to live that crazy type of life from day one. He had a problem with it because his brother went and did it, and he didn't do it. And because he didn't do it, he wanted to fault his brother for something that he didn't want to do. And this is just my opinion, and I'm going to go, you got your Bibles, go to 1 John. And this is where a lot of Christians, even in the church today, this is where we fail God. Is the scripture I'm about to read right now, 1 John, the second chapter, and verse 15. And it says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passes away, and the lust thereof. But he that does the will of God abides forever. What I'm trying to say is a lot of times people that's in the church love the world more than they love doing God's will. Because we've accepted so much stuff. We've accepted it. It's become normal for us to accept it. But when someone gets delivered from it, we get an attitude. Yeah, we're found, but we're lost. We're being safe in the church, but we're living the world type of life. And when someone that has the same issues that we have, and we know it, and they come home and they get set free, we get an attitude. I know it's going to be quiet.
Counselor, I do have a comment. I think that happens because we want our name called. You know, because I'm listening to what you're saying, and the people that are in church, the people that are serving, the people that are working, you know, they're there. And then we bring those in who have been lost. And we're calling their names. We're encouraging them. You know, we're telling them they can do all things through Christ. And we're calling their name. And the person who's been there feel like, why my name haven't been called? And now you're calling their name all the time. Or now you're talking about, you know, what they're doing. But they're like a babe. We have to encourage, we have to, you know, help them along this journey. And you've been eating more than just having milk, you know, so you shouldn't be jealous of somebody who's drinking milk when you're supposed to be eating meat at this point in time in your life. So I think, you know, it's true what you're saying. We have to be careful that we don't make it about ourselves, you know, that we don't get jealous of bringing those in, those lost sheep in. We have to check our motives. Like you said in the very beginning, it's a heart check. It's an issue check. What's your motive? You know, your motive should be that you're winning souls because somebody ministered to you and your soul is no longer lost. So now we're supposed to go out and minister to others. And it's not about us. It's about God. It's about his word. We're supposed to drop those seeds and God will bring the sun and the rain. He'll bring somebody to till the ground. And it's not about us. It's about doing the will of the Father. And we do rejoice when the lost have come in. We are supposed to be excited, supposed to be glad, supposed to encourage them to get into church or get into the Word and start working so they can go out and pull somebody in. So I think a lot of times it's just because they may be feeling, I mean, you know, this is not the only thing, but it could be something that they're thinking, my name is no longer being called, but it's not about you. It's not about us. It's about Christ.
Amen.
And like you were saying, check your motives. Why are you coming to church? To get your name, God, or to serve God and his people?
So
yeah,
I guess when I was reading this, yeah, go ahead, Elder.
What I like to know is, you know, we must know who we are in Christ Jesus. And I think that once we understand who we are in Christ Jesus, we don't have to, we won't ever or should never be jealous or hating or anything else or anybody, because that's all of the flesh. That's all of our flesh walking and talking. That's our carnal thinking getting in the way. While we're sitting in the body of Christ, while we're sitting in the church, you know, I've been here for 30 years, and my name ain't never got called half as much as this person's name is, and they ain't been here but 2 months. You know, so we have to understand that who we are in Christ Jesus first and what he's called us to do and what he's called us to be. You know, and I think once we get that and understand that, we don't never have to be jealous or hate on anybody. I don't care if your name don't ever get called. You know, we must understand that who we are and how the Lord stood in us. What we need to be worried about is if Jesus calls our name. When Jesus called our name, do we have an ear to hear what he is saying to us and not what man is saying or trying to be man pleasers? You know, we have to worry about what the Lord is saying on our behalf. So I just wanted to add that in there that, you know, we can't be so caught up into what people think and what people say, and if the pastor's calling my name or church secretary got me part of the program or, you know, put my name up on Front Street. No, I'm worried about what Jesus is thinking. I'm worried about what Jesus is saying, you know, on my behalf. You know, so I think once we get that, you know, into our spirit, you know, and have the right spirit within us, we don't have to operate in our flesh and in our carnal thinking.
Amen. Amen. So I want to pose a question, and this is what I was going to do, right? I was going to actually pose a question. Why is it, why is it that you have more church drama from church folks who know the word, who study the word, and you have these issues on a week-to-week basis? It may be something different. It may be about this. It may be about that. But there's issues like this brother was having. Now, he was in his father's house. His father told him, what's mine is yours. You got it. You think that would be enough. You think that would be okay. But there's always, and even myself, by myself, in this position where something in the church, whether it was this, that, or the other, that had nothing to do with me, but it bothered me because either A, whatever the reason it bothered me, it just bothered me. And it had nothing to do with me. And the reason I'm saying this is because we need to understand going this year that we're in, and if we're going to go out and win souls, we got to make sure we do a self-check that when people come in that we can receive them and receive them the way the Lord wants us to receive them, and not just play church. Because a lot of people play church. They say the right thing, but then they go right around and they gossip. They say they love you, then they go right around and they stab you in the back. They say they mean one thing, but they live another life. And then when someone comes in who's living the life of the world, who finally came to themselves and want to come back, we sometimes don't want to greet them the right way. And this should be a self-check for everyone, not just for people who's coming into the church who's new, but for people who've been in the church that may be sick that you ain't never talked to, that you may never call, unless it's been an emergency. And the Lord is trying to clean up this in the day that we live in. We should all be one big, and I know it's a cliche, happy family. And we all should be doing what the Lord has called us to do. It shouldn't be whether my name, Elder Oliver, get called or not. It shouldn't be whether if I don't teach another Bible study until June, I should be okay because I'm doing the Lord's will. And if someone else needs to take my position to keep them in the house of the Lord and keep them straight, then I shouldn't have a problem stepping to the side, because the house of the Lord are for the ones that are wounded. And if we say who we say we are, and we're studying the word every day, we're teaching the word every day, but soon as we or something happens to shake us, or we're not in that limelight, we get an attitude and we want to come up with all the problems. And this is why this isn't working. When it should just be, like Elder said, it should just be about doing the Lord's will. We shouldn't be thinking about it carnally. We shouldn't be putting our feelings into it. It should just be about what we can do, and is the Lord calling us to do what he wants us to do? Are we doing it for self? And a lot of times I see people doing stuff, including myself, for self. Like the son that stayed at the house. Even though he was found, he was in a good place. He had all that he needed. But you see how lost he was when it came to his brother? And a lot of times when it comes to our brothers and our sisters, we are so lost because we can't receive their happiness. We can't receive their deliverance. We can't receive their call because we've been doing this a lot longer than they have. We know more than them. So how can they do it? How can Elder Oliver teach? He ain't been teaching but a minute. How he get to teach every other week or once a month? I've been doing this 30 years. We have people that's in the church that's like that. And because we have people in church, in position, it kills when other people try to grow. We're killing the growth. This young man went on his own father's house that he's been working for because his brother came back home. That don't even make sense to me. But it does make sense when you think about it and you think about the church. And I've been in church a long time. I see this all the time. And I recognize it more and more because I recognize because I get caught up in what the world say we ought to be doing. And when I say this, I'm just saying, we're not preaching that abstinence. We're not preaching, you know, we should holiness. It's not being shown enough. Because I believe, because a lot of us like this new world of living, and we want to compromise with it, and we want it to come in. And but as long as we're doing it, it's okay. But as soon as someone else do it, we want to talk about them. And we can't have it on both sides of the fence. Either you're hot nor you're cold. You can't have it either. You can't have it both ways. This man was jealous of his brother for the life that he wanted to live, and he got to live it. But he had enough sense to know that that wasn't the life for him. There was decisions that he made. There was things that he did that he wasn't proud of. And it took a lot for him to come back to his father's house in the condition that he was in when he was eating with the pigs and stuff like that. And here the brother is eating good, whatever he want, however he want, whenever he want it. And yet you're not going to show no love for your brother. And all what I'm trying to say tonight is, if we're going to be on a mission and go out and win souls, we got to be ready on this side of the house. We can't look at everybody like this man looked at his brother and had an attitude because he was getting the party for him. We can't do that. We got to get out of our feelings. We got to get out of what we think is right, because we've been doing it for so long in the house. We think is right. As soon as someone comes in, we get an attitude. No matter what happens in the house, we're going to have an attitude because we're really not sold out for Christ. We're just doing it for show. And it shows up when we get an attitude because our name isn't being called or because we're not doing this, that, or the other. And, oh, someone else doing it. And now we're going to try to find fault with them. If we're going to be effective in 2022, we got to do a self-check. And we got to come to ourselves. And we have to start receiving people where they are, loving them where they are. Because until they come to themselves, we could preach, teach, touch all we want, nothing's going to happen until they come to themselves. And we have to understand that. Now, you can go try to counsel them all you want. You can go do all you want to do, but until they come to themselves, there's really nothing that's going to happen. And I believe we get mad because when they come to themselves and they do it without us, we get mad because they're doing it without us. That's just my opinion. That's just a little side note. Anyone else have anything?
Well, you made a comment that things are happening in the church that bother you. There's nothing wrong with being bothered in the church instead of bothering you. Sin should bother you if it's in the church. So if it's sin that's bothering you, then keep being bothered because it has no place in the church. Now, if somebody come in off the street or somebody we're witnessing to, we should display the only feeling we should be displaying is love. That's the only feeling we should have, is the love of Christ. And keep being bothered as long as it's sin that's bothering you, because it has no place in the church.
It has no place in the church, but what I'm saying is weird. Where when I say it is, and I'm just speaking from experience for me, is that too many of, when I say myself, we're comfortable with nonsense. We're comfortable with the foolishness. We're comfortable with it. And that's something that bothers me. And the only way we can get rid of it is through prayer and through, you know, I'm like this. I'm the type of person, in order to get better, you have to show light in dark places. And a lot of people don't want to take the light in dark places because it's going to expose some things that people don't want to get exposed. So therefore, the only reason I'm talking about this tonight because it exposed some things about me personally, but also exposed some things about when we go forward in a church, not just Praise Tabernacle Church, not just, I'm talking about all churches, not just one specific church, but all churches. I know people who do things that they're not, they live a lifestyle that's not right. And then when people come into church, people get hurt because real recognize real. And a lot of times you bring people in off the streets trying to get them saved or trying to show love to them. And the love that they see is the same love that they just left. Something's wrong. Something's wrong. We ought to have that unconditional love, but not saying that, okay, we condone their sin. We should love them until they come to themselves. Throw them a party. Look out. Help them, yes.
See, we can love people the way that we should. You know, as you said a few minutes ago about unconditional love, because we don't have that kind of love in us or in you to protrude
right
out, because your relationship with Jesus is not where it should be. See, because our flesh, we're working off of flesh instead of off the Spirit of Christ. And Christ has to be in you, around you, and about you in order for us to be successful in ministry, period. Whether it's sitting inside of a church or out in the world, we have to have Christ in us, with us, about us, in everything that we do. Will we always say the right thing? Will we always do the right thing? Probably not, because of the flesh. Because there's always a warfare between the spirit and the flesh. You know, but the Spirit of God should always get the victory, so that we can love people the way that we should be able to love people, so that we can treat people the way that we need to be able to. Long as God gets the glory, long as Jesus gets the glory, and long as he's glorified, and it should be coming through each and every one of us. You know, and if it doesn't, then we just have to check ourselves, as you were saying. We got to come to ourselves, allow Christ to remove whatever in us that's not of him, or we're never going to be able to do the right things by the right people, you know, and to see souls in it. Because our ultimate goal is just to see souls added to the kingdom, period, regardless of who gets the glory as far as man goes. But as long as Jesus gets the glory on when souls are added, he just used us as vehicles to get them. So, you know, like I keep saying, we just got to check our relationship with the Lord. Why are we in church? Why do we go to church? Just so we can have a look, so that we can appear that we're doing what we need to be doing. You know, so we just have a form of godliness and denying the power of the Holy Ghost. You know, just have a form of godliness. You know, so because we don't do what Jesus is saying do, it is a form of godliness. You don't have nothing going on spiritually, because everything you do, you're working through the flesh. Okay, that's enough. I'm done.
I want to ask you a question. I was going to ask a question, and then I'm going to wrap this up real quick. But the question is, can you love the world and still love Christ and still show Christ's love if you love the world and the things that are in the world?
No, you can't. You can't do both. It's hard to do both.
You say it's hard to do both, or you can't do both?
You can't do both because there's a warfare between the spirit and the flesh. That's why the Bible talks about having the form of godliness and denying the power thereof. The power of what? The power of Jesus Christ. The power of the Holy Ghost. That's what you deny when you have just a form of godliness.
Okay, so the reason I asked the question is just because, you know, in no particular person or any, I'm just in a general conversation, knowing people who serve the Lord, but yet they love the world. And yet on one hand, they're serving the Lord in areas they're good in, but yet the other end, they're serving what they believe, and it's totally the opposite. I know a minister in my hometown who's a whoremonger. He loves to sleep around with women. Everybody knows about it. But yet he's behind pulpits preaching, and everybody knows that he likes to be with a lot of women. So therefore, do we find that okay, or that's just a sin that we overlook? How do we, and yet there's a lot of people in the church, I'm just using that as an example, that do that type of stuff. And then when people come who really need the Lord, and it's just a question.
You can't have no power, you know. And the people that condone his actions, you know, again, you know, we got to check ourselves and see where we are in the eyes of Jesus. You know, Jesus sees what he's doing. He can't be operating in no kind of holy power. You know, this man being a whoremonger, sleeping around, you know, because everything he's doing is of his flesh. That's not of God. That's not of Jesus. That's not of the Holy Ghost. So how, you know, so any position that he may have, and that he's, if he's brought up high in the church, that's because man has brought him up that high. Jesus had nothing to do with it.
Right, you know, and I just want to make this clear. I just want to make something clear because I just got yelled at. I didn't mean that. I don't know if it's right or wrong. I know that it's wrong. I just wanted to put it out there because a lot of times we in the church community see things and we know things, and yet we're okay with it, when it doesn't line up with the Word of God.
If we're okay with something like that, then we're just as wrong.
That's my
we're
point.
Guilty
I wanted to get too. Right. Exactly.
You know, because we condone that kind of, we condone or agree with that kind of sin. Where is Christ in our life?
If we agree with that, if we don't speak
to him and let him know, hey, bro, you wrong. You know,
but just in that scenario, Elder, I brought up, there's a lot that goes on in the church, and it may not be what I'm speaking about with the whoremongering, but sin is sin. And yet, if we're okay with, if you want to call it little sin, and we accept it, and we choose to accept it, and we choose to live by it, what I'm saying is when people come into the house and they've been had a self-check moment, they come to themselves and they really want to get right, if we're not there to receive them where they're at, and we're somewhere else, and we believe something totally different. Real recognize real. Spirit recognize spirit. Flesh recognize flesh. They're going to recognize that, and they're going to go right back out and do exactly what they were doing when they came in, because it's being done in the church. If you don't think gossiping and backbiting, all the stuff that goes on in the world is going on in the church, at some point we got to come to the conclusion as believers and as the head, we have to put a stop to it. The way we stop is we got to stop. I have to stop. I can't worry about no, I have to stop. And when I stop and when I see it, we have to recognize it. Just like the boy went to the father and the father stepped out from the father to go talk to his son about the foolishness, about what he thought he was doing was right, when he was wrong. What we have to do, we have to put a stop to what we're doing that's not right. Whatever what you're doing or what I'm doing, we got to put a stop to it. So when people come in, they can see the genuine Christ in us. And when you see the genuine Christ in us, it's a lot easier for people to receive what we have to preach to them. But it's hard to receive something when you're coming from something and you're seeing the same thing. It's
right.
Just hard.
Because it has to be a
difference. It's hard.
It has to be.
And that's why.
Between the church and the world. There has to be a difference between the spirit of Christ in the church and what's going on in the world. When people come into the church from the world, they should see a total big difference. You know? But as you're stating, if they don't see any difference than the world and the church, how are they going to get delivered if ain't nobody in the church is being delivered?
And again, you're right. And what's the difference between these two brothers? What is the difference? The difference between the two brothers is there's really not no difference. One came to himself and the other one is still lost. That's the difference. And the one that was lost is the one that's been in the house the longest. So the message I want to get out to everyone is sometimes when you're in your mess is the best time that you can come and get found. And a lot of times people that's been in found for so long, sometimes you may just need to get off your horse and try to find what got you where you are and to be able to keep you. But we're not supposed to be of the world. There's supposed to be a difference in everything that we do, the way we love, the way we talk, the way we minister, is supposed to be a difference. It's not supposed to be the same. And we're not supposed to love sin. I'm going to say that again. We're not supposed to love sin. I'm trying to get all the hell out of my life. I'm trying to get it out, exposed. I want it out of my life so I can be a better disciple for Christ. I can't be a better disciple for Christ if I accept the position of, oh, I'm Elder Oliver. I've been saved and live off. I can't live off of that. It's killing me spiritually because there's nothing spiritually about me being in a church 30-some years. There's nothing spiritual about me saying that I'm a Christian. If I'm not living it, then I'm not about it. I have to live it in order to be about it. And that's all I wanted to say tonight. I hope y'all got something out of it. But if you read this again and read it thoroughly and you look at the younger brother who left with all his money, he was found. He found his way back home. And his brother that stayed home and was in the house and was supposed to be found was lost the whole time. The whole, for whatever reason you want to put, he was lost. And I represent church folks as being that brother. That's just me. That's what I represent him being, because he's been at the house the whole time working with the father. And even when the party came, he was out working. But he come in with an attitude because he really, really was jealous of his brother, because he wanted to know what it was like to live the way that he was living. And because he's been in the church so long, you can get jealous of other folks. But that's a sermon for a different day. I hope you got something out of it. If you get a chance, please read again Luke 15:11-32. And if you don't mind, slide over to 1 John, the second chapter, 15-17, and see what the Lord gives you with that. Just read it. Read it by yourselves. Read it. And it's a parable Jesus used. Just read it. And hopefully it will help you become a stronger Christian. And hopefully you will have a come to yourself to find out about yourself, how you can find yourself again and not get lost and caught up in the ways of this world, and start living holy and preaching holiness and not just, it's okay, love everything. You can't love sin. You can't like sin. Sin ought to bother
you. That's right.
It ought to bother you. And if you go to church on Sunday and something ain't bothering you, because the devil is in the church, whether you want to believe it or not. We can run him out of there, but he's going to start off in church. And if you ever wake up and it's hard for you to get to church on Sunday, it's just the devil messing with you. By the time you get there, you should be able to run him out. But he's going to be there. And it should irritate you a little bit. You should be appalled by this a little bit, because we ought to be an example of how we live our life for Christ. His will, not our will. I'm going to turn it back over to you, Elder Taylor.
All right. All right. What a good word, man. Good word, Elder Oliver. I really appreciate your time and effort and energy and that you put into this, teaching this word, speaking about this word. You know, we just got to do better, you know, as a body of Christ all over the world, not just your particular local church. You know, we just got to do better all over the world, you know, in regards to, you know, having the form of godliness and denying the power thereof, you know, because the power is what delivers you, is what sets you free, you know, from sin, and it makes you turn your nose up against sin. You don't condone sin when you're working in the power and the glory of Jesus Christ. So good word tonight, brother. I appreciate you. You know, very dynamic word. And also, it should provoke thought. And everybody that's tuned in and everybody that's been listening tonight, it should provoke thought in you. Check yourself. Check yourself. Do a self-check, you know, as to who you are, what you are, and what God has called you to do and who God has called you to be in Him. So, Evangelist Stanton, do we have any praise requests that came over the email?
Not tonight. We know that there are a lot of people that have been ill in our church, so we just want to continue to keep them up in prayer. Deacon Berger, we definitely want to keep him in prayer. Sister Shan Tate and her family, definitely keep them in prayer, and anybody else who may be experiencing some illness at this time.
Okay. Evangelist Bluette, are you still there? Evangelist Bluette? Elder Bluette.
I don't think you're anymore.
Elder Bluette, are you still there? You're not there either? Okay. Well, Evangelist Stan, I'm going to ask you to dismiss us quickly.
Yes, sir. Thank you. Thank you, Elder Oliver, for the word on tonight. Thank you, Elder Oliver, for the word tonight. As you said, everyone should go back and read and study Luke chapter 15, verses 11 through 32. Do a self-check. And one way to do that is, are you reading the word of God? Are you fasting and praying? Not just doing a starvation diet, but fasting and praying. Are you having your mind renewed in the word of God? Are you inviting the Holy Spirit in? Are you sitting and talking to God for him to order your footsteps? It is a personal thing, and I agree with Elder Oliver. You cannot love sin and try to say that you love God at the same time. You can't love sin. You can't enjoy sin. Not when you have the Holy Spirit inside of you. It will bring conviction. You will have a broken and contrite spirit when you commit sin. It is not done at all. So it is a self-check so that we can really walk in holiness and righteousness. And it can be done. You're going to have to make a decision. And I'm talking to the church. You are going to have to make a decision. Either you love sin or you love God. You're going to have to give it up. And now is the time to repent and turn from sin. Repent and ask God to forgive you. Repent and get into the word of God daily. Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. But if you don't have any word in there, no matter, even if you are a minister, and if the word doesn't come up, the Holy Spirit doesn't come up, when you're committing sin, something is wrong. There is a disconnect, and you need to get connected back to Christ. You need to get connected back to Christ. And I feel what Elder Oliver was saying. I feel what he was saying. I'm not going to try to reteach the lesson, but I understand what he was saying. It is a personal reflection of what your walk is all about. You know what stinks. You know what stinks. And you are making the choice to choose sin when you know better. You shall be held accountable for that. And if I didn't say that, and I'm with the blood on my hands, you're going to be held accountable for it. Get it together. Make a choice. Choose Christ. Because what you do for Christ will last. What you do for Christ will last. You don't want to burn eternally thinking to yourself, I should have, when you can right now in the name of Jesus, when you can make that choice to choose God daily. It is a daily process. I wake up every morning, and because my eyes wake up, his mercy touched my body, I say I choose Christ. When sin tries to come, I resist the devil. I get the word out. I praise. I go into worship. I go into prayer. I do whatever I need to do to protect myself from not falling short of what God has called me to do. I fast. I pray. And that's what you have to do. You can't be lukewarm. Either you're going to be hot or cold. Thank you.
All right.
Father God, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for this word on tonight. Father God, we need it for our correction, and we thank you for that, Father. We needed to examine where we stand. We needed to examine what kind of life we are truly living behind the closed doors. And Father God, if there's anything that is not pleasing in your sight, bring it to the light. Embarrass sin so that sin does not embarrass us in the name of Jesus. Bring it to the light. Expose it in the name of Jesus, that we can get it right, Father, so that one day we can hear, well done, thy good and faithful servant. Because, Lord, yes, you know our heart. Create in us a clean heart in the name of Jesus. Expose those things that are not like you in the name of Jesus, that we will walk in holiness and righteousness. Because truly, Father, the laborers are few and the harvest is ripe. Let the laborers get it together so that we can go out and bring in the harvest in the name of Jesus. It's all about you, Father, as you increase in us in the name of Jesus. We repent, Father, in the name of Jesus. We repent, Father, right now in the name of Jesus. And we turn to you with a broken and contrite spirit, asking you, Father, to forgive us in the name of Jesus. Forgive the church. Forgive the household of faith. And forgive your bride, Father, in the name of Jesus. Holy Spirit, we invite you in right now to reside in those places that were once dark. In the name of Jesus, that they would not come back and take residence, that we won't let them, that we will protect this relationship with our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ of Nazareth. Everyone under the sound of my voice, I pray that you would repent. You know what your life looks like. You know what you're doing behind those closed doors. You know what you're saying and what you're allowing to come out of your mouth. We ask you right now in the name of Jesus that you would repent. Turn back to God. Get back in your word. Get back to praying. Get back to fasting. Find you an accountability partner if that's what you need to do. Do what you need to do to protect that relationship with Christ. Father God, we thank you. We love you because you first love us. In the name of Jesus, we give you everything that we are in Jesus' name. Matthew 28:19-20 says, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Be blessed. Stay encouraged. God loves you right where you at, but he desires to see you do better. He desires to see you turn from your ways. He desires to see you repent. In the name of Jesus, Father God, we give you the praise, the honor, and the glory. Amen.
Yes. Amen and good night.
Amen.